Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Parks Casino and Sportsbook wants you to know they are taking this time to have their facility ready for your return. Parks Casino and Sportsbook is all about offering you gaming and entertainment in a safe, comfortable environment. Please monitor Parks Casino on Facebook.
Saturday afternoon here in the Delaware Valley, D-lining with you here on 97.5 The Fanatic. And we've been kind of got into some sports families and passing good genes down, but also quite frankly, a work ethic and maybe even surrounding your child with the proper instruction along the way because you had lived it yourself. And now, voila, here we are. And, you know, a parent was a professional athlete and now their child is a professional athlete. And that happened for the Allery family when Bella Allery, the daughter of Mark Allery, was selected fifth overall in the WNBA draft last night. And the WNBA draft kind of gave us a little insight into what virtual drafts look like. And the NFL is going to be doing that this coming Thursday is when they kick it off. And you will have 3 days of the NFL doing something comparable that the WNBA did last night. And obviously the numbers are nowhere near what the NFL will be doing, but it did give you one something new in the sports world because we haven't had anything new, and two, it kind of gave you an idea of what to expect. Though I think from a fan standpoint, the NFL, just having read and watched the NFL Network explain how they're really trying to engage the fans and them being part of this virtual experience. So I think they're trying to be creative, and we'll see what that looks like. Let's check in with Vinny in media. Vinny, thank you for calling The Fanatic. How are you?
Hey, D, happy Saturday.
Thanks. To you as well.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So the Toronto Blue Jays seem like they're building their minor league system on fathers and sons with Dante Bichette, his son Bo, Craig Biggio's son, and Vladdy Jr. And these guys are not three slouch prospects who got drafted because of their dads. These kids are
really good, really good players.
The Blue Jays are going to be a very, very good organization for a very, very long time because of those three guys.
Now, Vinny, you bring up a whole nother aspect of this, and that's from the organization standpoint and the people wanting to draft them. Because there is an edge there if the organization knows what the previous generation, what their work ethic was, what they were as the character of the people. So that's a whole other aspect of it I didn't even think about.
Absolutely. I mean, you could just kind of tell that the Blue Jays, what they were doing was bringing in kids who knew what it was like to be major leaguers before they were ever even minor leaguers.
Yeah, I mean, I bet you somebody will follow this over some time and watch to see the career of those three guys.
Yeah, and more than likely it'll be the Phillies be next, and they'll miss on all three.
Where's your optimism, Vinny? Come on.
Well, it's kind of hard to be optimistic.
No, I know that's true. I feel that. I understand where you're coming from. That's a good one, though. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Have a good one. God bless.
You do the same, Vinny. Thanks for calling The Fanatic. No, that'll be the interesting thing because if you think about it, that's like even if we go and I have no idea what Ben Simmons' dad did in the Australian League, but clearly the connection that and the fact that Ben Simmons was an unbelievable talent in his own right and played the point guard position or was going to be a point guard at this level, that there was definitely an inside track from Brett Brown having known his father, coached his father, and known the kid as a young kid. So Vinny just brought a whole nother part to the conversation in an advantage that an organization might have if you have seen those generations as they're growing up. And the Simmons was one that just immediately comes to my mind. I remember that a couple years prior to that, and I don't think it was his father. I want to say Dante Exum possibly, but his dad, I think, also had played in the Australian League, and there was a connection, or maybe it was just because he was from Australia, and Brett would have known his talents at that point. I'll have to double check to see if his dad was a player, but that's part of it. 610-632-0975. Let's check in with Ramin. Ramin is in West Philly. How's it going?
Yeah, how you doing, D?
Doing all right.
I wanted to ask you about the Eagles, right? How many receivers do you think we taking in a draft?
Well, I mean, everybody says he better take at least two.
Here's my take about Justin Jefferson, right?
Yeah.
They're saying he's the fourth receiver and he might fall into our lap, right? But from what I'm hearing, I said he's best working out the slot, right?
Right.
And when you look at our receiving core, we really don't have nobody on the outside except for DeSean Jackson. And he's like
33 years old is part of it and coming off of an injury.
Exactly. So my likelihood, do you think we move up in this draft?
I mean, the other day I went, no, actually this morning I went through it, but the interview was from the other day, and I read the transcript of Howie Roseman's kind of media session with the various writers and people who cover the team. And man, when I tell you he did not want to, you know, show his hand at all, even when he was asked, like, how good do you think this receiving class is? Or, you know, the need for a receiver on this team. He was just very, I mean, I think at some point, look, he's definitely going to bolster his receiving core. The question is, if you don't move up, and I think a lot of people want him to move up, that if he has a specific receiver that he knows he has to move up or it won't be available to him, or is he more inclined to see what is available at 21? And at that point, does he, because in some of these different drafts, other names come up that are not receiver positions. So, I mean, he has other picks that he can do something with, but it seems to me from the, and he can't do whatever the pressure from the outside world does. He's got to do what he thinks is the best talent for his roster. At that point, and if you see him move up, it's definitely going to be, I think, because that receiver that he is in his mind targeting is on the board and he can make that deal.
This is my take. If we move up, right, I say if we move up for Judy or Lamb, right, I say we take one receiver in the draft. But if you don't, if you stay
at 21, yep, then you think he gets another later as well.
Yeah, we need two.
Yep, I see what you're saying. Yeah, that makes sense. It definitely makes sense.
Because the game changes, to me, it seemed like the game changes is the first three or two receivers taken. That's Lamb and Judy. They're the game changers.
Yep.
Like, they're the ones who can make, like, everybody else game a little better, right?
Yeah.
And the fourth one, like, where's though? You gotta get two. If you stand packed at 21. But I was looking at it, if we stand packed at 21, maybe we move back and get an additional second round or third round pick. And
that name that comes up lately is the Mims, and that, yeah, you could move backwards to take him.
Yeah, that's what I would do. I would move back, take, because I think, whereas though, I think Jefferson, I think Mims, Jefferson, Mims, and all them guys back, I think they're similar. Not saying they might be a tad bit better. Jefferson might be a tad bit better, though, because he had the notoriety, because, you know, they won a national championship.
Sure.
But I think they're on the same level. So I think you could trade back and try to get an additional pick, man, as though we traded our one of our thirds for Slay.
Yeah, I mean, I think the other thing that brings a little more heat to this conversation is, one, how badly they need a high-level receiver, and two, some of Howie's past drafts. So I think that combination is what has brought some of the heat to the conversation.
Right, right. You know? Because his past drafts, the receivers that he has taken, been trash. Been trash.
Well, Ramin, I can tell you're looking forward to Thursday, so I hope you enjoy the virtual draft.
Well, that's all I'm looking forward to right now, because I'm I've been on Bleacher Report. I done watched everything. I done watched old games.
Oh, I know.
I done watched old basketball games and all like that. So the only thing I'm looking forward to as far as the sports world is the draft.
Is seeing,
I'll be tuned and locked in.
Seeing that unfold. I appreciate the phone call. Stay safe, my friend. Tyler, don't you think, no matter what, if he moves up and he takes a receiver, if he stays at 21, if he goes down and gets another pick because, or if he takes somebody at 21 that isn't a receiver, no matter what, he's not going to please everybody.
Well, he's not. And you
so,
know,
I mean, that's why it's...
I'm like, you know, you've heard me say it before. I'm the kind of person that's in the notion to take a linebacker in the first round. That would be awful for a lot of people. And I'm on the flip side, like, you take a receiver, I'm cool with it, but, you know, right. It's got to be a good one.
Why am I drawing a blank on the guy yesterday? Kenneth
Murray.
Murray,
yeah.
Thank you. Or Patrick Queen, which one do you like better? Well, Patrick Queen's smaller, right?
Queen's a little bit
smaller in stature.
I'll take a look at the numbers for you to give you the exact one. I'm kind of back and forth right now. I'm on the Murray train.
You're on the it seemed like he picked up some speed over the last couple of days in terms of that. But hey, either way, I just want it to be a productive pick, and that'll be the other thing. You know, now you're gonna have to wait it out. And you won't have what I think. It just won't be the same as going, you know, OTAs and training camp and starting on time. It just doesn't seem like that's going to be able to unfold with where we are right now. I mean, that's just reality. All right, let's check in with Rich. Let's go back to that parent-child duo. Rich is with us. Thanks for calling 97.5 The Fanatic, Rich.
Hi, Dee. How are you? Thanks for taking the call.
Absolutely.
Yep. A caller a little while ago brought up JT Snow, and I was just going to ask you, do you remember anything about him or what you might remember about him?
About JT Snow or his dad, Jack?
Well, JT Snow, because there was one play that I remember specifically, and it had nothing to do with baseball. Do you remember when they were in the playoffs with the Giants? And I think it was Dusty Baker was the manager, and his son came out a little bit too early to get the bat. And JT Snow is the one that pulled Dusty Baker's boy away from the plate when somebody was coming in to slide.
Oh, wow.
You'll have to look that up or have Tyler Google it or something. The little boy went out a little bit too early for the bat.
Wow, he was a young kid. He was 3.5 years old.
Exactly. And JT Snow, I believe, was the one that yanked him away from the plate. Anyway.
I would not have remembered that, and I'm glad you told me about that.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. As soon as I heard JT Snow,
that's what immediately came to your mind. Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird, but anyway, do you remember a tennis player in the mid '90s, Peter Korda?
Oh yeah, I know that name.
Yes, he has two daughters on the LPGA, two of them.
Really?
Really, really good. I think they're both ranked in the top 25 in the world. I believe it's Jessica and Nelly.
I'm going to look because I teach a class and we were doing something with an assignment with the LPGA and marketing. Like how could they as a league better market themselves? And I want to say Korda's name came up because I just wanted to look at the top money winners from last year because obviously everything's being postponed right now. And
Peter was fairly good. I think he won one major, I think the Australian Open, but to have not just one, but two daughters that are really successful on the LPGA is pretty special. I believe my wife and I saw the older one at Saucon Valley.
I've never played there. That's a great course.
I walked it. I didn't get to play there, but I walked it.
I should have gone up to, they had the, an LPGA event, didn't they?
They had the U.S. Women's Open. I believe that's where we saw. I believe we saw Peter and his first daughter. I believe Jessica is the older daughter.
I'll have to look it up.
And she was only probably 15 or 16 at the time. But it's a beautiful course. I only live about 15 minutes from there, and it's.
I've driven.
Right. Well,
When the Eagles had their training camp. I always said, God, one of these times I have to see if I can't go get on there. And then I had an uncle who worked on the grounds crew there for a while.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And part of the reason is because on when the course was on closed on Mondays, they had caddy day.
Yes.
Or he wasn't.
Caddies, yeah.
He wasn't a caddy, but I guess if you worked there, you could, and you were a golfer, you were allowed to play on the caddy
every Monday, I believe. Yes.
Yeah. And so I thought to myself, that was kind of when I said maybe he could help me at some point. And now here we are, and he's not there anymore anyhow. So,
yeah.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. I appreciate.
All right, you got it, Dee.
Yeah, get a little history lesson from Rich. And actually, Rich, so I looked them up. Corda is, let's see, Jessica and Nelly. So, and Peter Corda, he's obviously the retired tennis player, but let's see, Jessica Corda also play. Yep, the two girls play on the LPGA Tour, and I don't know which one. Let's see, Jessica and Nelly. I know I just read about them when I was doing this assignment. But he is correct. When to be able to have, he was in tennis, and he clinched the Australian Open Junior Tennis Crown on the 20th. One of the daughters clinched the Australian Open Junior Tennis Crown on the 20th anniversary of her father's Grand Slam victory. Wow! In what was the Australia Open for him? But both Jessica and Nelly are now on the LPGA Tour. That's a good one. That's reaching back there, back in the day. All right, Tyler, back to your thing. So we have Murray is the 6'2", 241, and Queen is 6 foot, 230. Yeah, I think that was the one article that I was reading that was discussing size-wise, and maybe that's why Murray's name over the last couple of days, because of his being a little bigger. Maybe that's why that picked up steam. I don't know. But I definitely saw where the two of them, because somebody wrote in on Twitter, and somebody was doing a kind of a Q&A that covers football. And I think the more likelihood that Queen would be there for the Eagles at 21 is greater than Murray, was what the conversation.
I think very likely. I mean, I've seen mocks where he goes in 22, 24 range. I've also seen some where he slips out of the first round and goes in like the early second round.
Which one? Queen or
Queen.
Queen. Yeah. 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 Right. But meaning Murray not being there seemed to be, he's less
more likely.
More likely that he's not going to be there at 21 for them than Queen. But I have seen the same that you said, where he could even, Queen could go later. What's the, after the 21st, the next Eagles pick is?
53.
That's what I thought. So, all right, that'll be fun on Thursday.
I have a feeling if they do pick at 21, they will not be picking at 53.
Meaning they will then want to...
I think they'll trade up into the early parts of the second round.
I got you.
I think that they've got their eyes on a couple of guys.
That they have to make that move if they pick at 21.
Correct.
If they pick at 21. All right, that makes sense. It definitely makes sense. 610-632-0975. So we have a couple things on the table as we keep you company until the top of the hour. Parent-child duo, that is a for sure. And we have found that it really goes the gamut of sports. Of being a parent that succeeded, made their living playing a sport, and now they see their, you know, children, the next generation, being able to do the same. But what we have explored as the day has gone by is the fact that sometimes the child doesn't end up in the same sport as the parent, but they achieve a level of success that is comparable. And some of the ones that have come up, Ken Norton was a good one way back in a couple of hours ago. Boxing and football. This most recent one was Peter Corda, who was a tennis player, won a Grand Slam, and now has not one but two daughters playing on the LPGA Tour. That's an excellent one. We had Popeye Jones and Seth Jones, where you have a NBA basketball player and an NHL hockey player. and at a high level at that. And then we even got a little into the coaching, just because we had one caller who brought up the Hurleys. And the reason he brought it up was also when you're in these families, to not be comparing yourself always to the father or vice versa, you know, the son comparing to what the father achieved. And I didn't know this. I'll have to go and find that documentary on the Hurleys, but where Bobby Hurley has this very successful career at Duke and Danny was at Seton Hall, that's his brother. And, you know, there was a competition there that maybe was healthy, maybe was not healthy, but it's certainly now here they are. And both of them are college basketball coaches. And their father had been this unbelievable high school coach at St. Anthony's in North Jersey. So when I thought of him talking about the Hurleys in that way, I think of Sean Miller, who was actually a very good college basketball player as a point guard at Pittsburgh, Pitt. And he now is coaching in Arizona. His brother, all of a sudden I drew a blank on the brother's first name, but he's at Indiana, Archie Miller. He's at Indiana. And so now you have these two brothers who, and the thing about Sean, and I don't know if Archie was brought along in the same way or not, but the father, who was a high school coach in the Pittsburgh area, I do believe, you know, he took Sean around to basketball camps as a kid. And Sean had these unbelievable dribbling skills, ball handling skills. And his father would talk and Sean would be doing all the routines. And he was amazing for such a young person. And I never, ever really followed. I know I did see, because I saw Sean a ton of times when I was a kid, speak with his dad. And I do remember the brother being with them, but I don't know if he ever ended up being like the same kind of show as part of the deal once Sean was getting older. I never really followed to see if that happened. 610-632-0975. We'll continue the conversation on the other side. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic. Small businesses are the backbone of our local communities, and right now they could use our help. Introducing 97.5 The Fanatic's Operation Shop Local. Our initiative is set up to encourage gift card purchases from your local business and to highlight those offering home delivery or curbside pickup. Business owners can go to 975thefanatic.com, list your business in our free directory. The Fanatic is promoting this for our listeners to review and patronize whenever possible. Operation Shop Local, because we are all in this together. From the Beasley Media Group and 97.5 The Fanatic. So when I went to break, I was talking about how, from a coaching standpoint, basketball coaches Sean Miller at Arizona and Archie Miller at Indiana. And I knew of Sean's playing career. I guess I undersold Archie a little bit. So he was the point guard for NC State from 98 to 2002. And he ended his career among the school's leaders in free throw percentage, three-point field goal percentage, and total three-pointers. So the basketball did trickle down from one brother to the other from the father. And then I will throw you this out there. And you can continue if you have a good combo of parent-child, tremendous athletes that achieved and could, you know, make their living playing their respective sport, because it doesn't always just follow suit that you play the same sport. But the other thing I just saw from Kenny Smith from TNT on Twitter, and I hadn't seen this earlier. This isn't bad. And these are, you know, people brainstorm to try to think of when sports can resume in some way, shape, or form. What can that look like? How would you do it? And so he wrote, I would love to see an NBA tournament. All teams make the playoffs this year. Single game elimination until the final four. Could be done in 3 weeks of quarantine in Vegas. Drastic times require drastic measures. I like that, because you're not excluding anybody. So you know, people who say, well, I might have been able to make it. And there was a good, you know, battle between so-and-so for the eighth seed. So that's fine. Single elimination. Everybody has the same rules until you get to the final four. And then, I don't know, would you do a best of three between each of those until you get to the finals and you do the same best of three? I wouldn't increase that. That's pretty good. I like it. 610-632-0975. And we've been talking about those parents and their kids who become very good athletes in their own right after one of their parents was the same. Norman is with us in the Northeast. Norman, how are you? And thank you for calling the Fanatic.
Hi, Dee. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Yourself?
Good. So you talked about Mark Howe and Gordie Howe. Bobby Hull and Brent Hull are both in the NHL Hall of Fame.
Oh, I did not know them.
Yeah. Bobby was a legend with the Blackhawks, and I think Brent Hull runs the St. Louis Blues now, but he's also a Hall of Famer, and I think they both scored 1,000 points in their career.
That's a very good one. I do remember see Brett play through the years, for sure.
Yep, they were both tremendous. And there's another one, baseball, Cecil Fielder and Prince Fielder.
Yep, that's a good one. Somebody said that way early in the show. But no, that's okay. That was a long time ago. But I can't believe we got this far and hadn't heard about the Hulls. That's a great one.
Yep. Yeah, they're both so Hall of Famers. Yep.
Yeah. So the Hulls and the Hulls. I can't believe I didn't think when the Hulls were brought up that I didn't think about the Hulls.
Actually, the Hulls, so the other brother of Mark was Marty Hull. He wasn't a tremendous hockey player, but they had three of them. Father, I think he was like 40-something. Mark and Marty all played for, I think, the Hartford Whalers, it was back in the
day. Yeah, I remember the Hartford Whalers because I want to say one of the former Flyers coached there at one point.
Right. And then when they entered the NHL, I think the three of them played 1 year together in the NHL.
I think you might be right on that one. Yeah. That's a good one, Norman. Norman, how are you getting any, like, because you seem like you like your sports. So what are you doing since you can't watch much sports?
Well, I watch Iverson's Step Over.
Tyron Lue.
But what I remember about that series, they actually attended the games. They lost the next four straight.
Yes.
So,
I remember well.
So that was, and I have a great story with that. So I sat near like the eighth row where the players would go into the locker room.
Sure, the tunnel.
Players.
Yep.
And Shaq's dad and brother were sitting in front of us, I guess, and behind us, somebody had scalped their tickets. We had great seats, and this guy was drunk, hollering, cursing at Shaq.
Wow.
And I didn't know, you know, it was his father and brother sitting in front of us, but the brother goes down to our bodyguard sitting behind the Lakers bench as they're warming up. And he whispers in his ear, the guy comes up into the stands, we're all scared, crazy, and he whispers into the guy's ear behind me who's cursing, hollering, everything.
Yes.
The guy never said another word the rest of the game. And Shaq's dad was really nice, but I do remember we won the first game in that series in L.A., lost the second, then we lost three straight.
I know. Yep, I remember it well.
Center, I think.
Yep. And everybody after that first win, Norman, had such hope for
it. Yep, that was an overtime. And people forget that Eric Snow actually, he wasn't a great shooter, but in that game, he hit two key shots in the overtime.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Yeah. I mean, it's a unique, I appreciate the phone call, Norman. It was a unique group because collectively it was, you know, going to work for them. But if you individually go down and go through that roster and compare it across the board to the Sixers, I mean, Iverson, you know, was playing like a giant. but they had Kobe and Shaq. And so, anyhow, I think just person for person across the way when we look back. But that first game, first of all, how entertaining was that first game? It was so good. And it really did make you think this is what we're in for. There could be a parade. There was a lot of hope. 610-632-0975. Rob is with us. Rob, thank you for calling the Fanatic.
Well, thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely.
I think I got a couple of pairs or families that maybe you didn't mention. Did anybody bring up the Alis, Muhammad and Layla?
Oh, no, but that's a great one. That is ever. Yeah.
The greatest and another champion, retired undefeated.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a really strong personality in her father. I mean, come on.
Heck yes.
And to be able to, one, have your own success, two, she did develop her own personality in her own way.
Yeah, and is she still commentating? I know she was for a while.
I don't know.
She turned into a television personality for
sure.
A bit, so
well, she
and translating.
I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I think she was also on Dancing with the Stars.
I wouldn't know.
I haven't watched that in forever, but I think somebody, when they were going down the resume of things she has done, that was on there.
Yeah.
And that's a great one. What was the other one?
The other one was the basketball Barrys. Rick Barry, didn't he have three kids?
Oh, yeah. And I said I couldn't. I did bring them up early. But
I didn't hear.
No, that's okay. He definitely, John and Brent. And yes. I want to say Scooter. I didn't look it up. I probably should have when I couldn't remember. And then obviously Rick was the father. But you are correct. They.
Yeah. And two of them went first round, if I remember. I mean, I'm old, so.
Yeah, no. Well, John Barry played for the Kings for a long time. He was with I hope I'm not wrong on this one, but like the Chris Webber, Peja Stojakovic. I think he was on that Kings team, which did very, very well back in the day. They just kept, running into the Lakers.
Yeah. So, and then I think Drew played for the Spurs, was it? I don't remember.
Drew had the great college career. I do remember that. But Brent definitely played at one point in Seattle before they moved to OKC. And Brent participated in the slam dunk contest.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you are right. That family had quite a history of...
Yeah, that's quite the lineage there.
Yes. I appreciate the phone call. Thank you.
Well, thanks for taking it. Have a great day.
You do the same, Rob. And I want to say, so he brought up Drew. That was the other name I was missing. How did I miss that? Because unless the nickname for one of them was Scooter, and I'm doing that as their real name. But I want to say, I'm going to look them up in the break. And when I come back, we'll put a bow on the Barry family. And Joe, sit tight, because I want to give you your full time and we'll get your father-son combination as well. And we're just talking about, passing it down, the genes. What it takes, the commitment, and we kick this all off because last night the WNBA had their draft. And by the way, the number one overall pick, I think she will at one time, Sabrina from the University of Oregon, who, man, she had a heck of a career. She was number one overall and will go to the Liberty. But the other part that made hers is an interesting story is because Kobe would tweet things at her, you know, just because she was so talented. And that became a part of her story. And he the GOAT calling her the GOAT. That's basically how I best can describe that. And that made for a really good storyline as well. So we're talking about parent-child combos that have done well for themselves at a very high level athletically. 610-632-0975. You're listening to Joe. We're coming back to you. 97.5 The Fanatic. Well, welcome back to 97.5 The Fanatic. So before we went to break, we were talking about the Barry family and how Rick Barry had sons that played in the NBA as well. So here's a crazy thing. So Brent, John, and Drew all played in the NBA. And he has a son currently, Canyon, who's playing in the G League. But so I just want to go and I say, you know, who went where? And I'm looking at John, and John was actually out of Georgia Tech, and he was selected by the Celtics in the first round of the 92 NBA draft. He was selected number 21 overall. And are you ready for this? He, for whatever reason, he wouldn't sign his contract with the Celtics. So he sat out the entire season, and in the offseason, he was traded. This is how, like, these 6 degrees of separation. He was traded to the Milwaukee Bucks for Ala Abdel Nabi, who was the current announcer of the Philadelphia 76ers. So, yes, there were many Barrys that played. And John was, I was correct, he played for a lot of teams in the league. But he did play for the Sacramento Kings among them. All right, let's hit Joe in the Northeast. Joe, thanks for calling the Fanatic. How are you, sir?
Pretty good. Nothing to do today but listen to talk radio. Anyhow, I'm going to lay 3 things on you real quick.
Okay.
On your current topic.
Yes, sir.
How about Bill Sims and Chris Sims?
Oh, good one. And, great one. Football.
And since you drifted off into Dancing with the Stars a few minutes ago, how about world champion boxer Max Thayer and his son Jethro Bodine? Okay. And number 3, how about if you were to do a contest on this subject here, I think the winner would have to be father and son, Popeye, because I loved Popeye when I was growing up as a kid.
Yeah.
I'll listen to your comments, okay?
I appreciate it. Thank you, Joe, for calling the Fanatic. Wait, I didn't know who those the middle ones were, the fighter. I'll have to look that one up. But with the Popeye, I first of all, yes, the name, and because the mother naming Popeye Jones after that cartoon character, which was a cartoon that I always watched when I was a kid with my brother. But also just the meaning, one being in the NBA and then the son being a high level 4th overall NHL pick, you know, played with Nashville and then the Blue Jackets. So, yeah, we talked, and obviously because I knew Popeye and still get to talk to him during the NBA season because he's now on the Indiana Pacers staff, that's a fun one for me for sure. The Sims, yeah, I can't believe we got all the way through this, and that's the first we're hearing of the Sims. And they're on TV regularly, so it's not like they're out of sight, out of mind. I hadn't thought of that, but even in the previous caller saying Muhammad Ali and his daughter, those are some really good names that we are adding to this fine list of parent-child, where, you know, it makes you think not just about the genes, but environment, surroundings, a love of the game. You know, can you pass that on? Maybe part of why I ended up in sports is because I really enjoyed being around my father, and so much of what his life was involved his, you know, basketball world, whether it was his coaching or speaking at summer camps. But that's part of it too. All right, let's check in with Jerry in Montclair. Jerry, thank you for calling the Fanatic. How are you?
Yes, good afternoon. I'm very well, thank you. I was actually calling about you and your dad. I'm an MBS West Catholic St. Joe guy, and your uncle Tom. He was in my
okay, yep.
Room. We call him Herbie.
Yeah.
Anyway,
absolutely.
If I remember correctly, in '55, MBS they won the CYO, and then your dad won it again at West in '59. The city.
West, I knew. I probably should have known the CYO, but maybe I did, but I forgot.
Yeah, Johnny Beck had an older brother on the Warriors, and Johnny was on that team with Jimmy McAndrews.
Oh wow!
And then you go on and you become a terrific TV and radio personality. I can hear your dad in your voice.
I appreciate that, Jerry.
Yeah. Yeah, now, in 1960, I was at the football game. I was still on programs at Franklin Field when they won the championship, and I had the honor of standing beside the guy.
Wow. I love when somebody calls and says I was selling programs. That was something. No, you know why? Because we would keep them. I remember the programs when I would go to the Palestra.
I actually had it framed too. I had the program thing. I got it later in the thrift shop.
Oh, that's
framed. It was a framed program that year. So
that's awesome.
God bless your day and your family.
And the same to you, Jerry. Stay safe out there.
Yeah, we'll be with you.
All right, I appreciate it. Yeah, CYO and West Catholic, pretty good, pretty good. That was Big Jimmy's beginning of his many good accomplishments, if I may say so myself. Let's go to Paul in Hamilton. Paul, thank you for calling the Fanatic. How are you?
I'm good, D. I call once a week. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I appreciate the phone call.
Yeah, I had called you about maybe getting Tom McGinnis on, remember?
Oh, that's right. Yes, because he paints such the good picture for you because you're blind, correct?
Yes, absolutely. He's my eyes.
Yes, he is
so
your
I
eyes.
I got a good one for you.
All right, let me hear.
Can't remember the dad's first name. The last name is McCaffrey, so the dad won 3 Super Bowls, McCaffrey, and his son is Christian McCaffrey.
You're right. And I think I remember when he was still playing in college, meaning that we would hear that.
It gets better.
Okay,
it
let me hear.
It gets better. Christian's grandfather is a guy named Dave Sim. His last name is spelled S-I-M-E. And he was a great track star. As a matter of fact, he won a silver medal in the 1960 Olympics. He got hurt for the 56 Olympics. At one time, he was considered the fastest man in the world. The reason I know this, because he went to Fairlawn High School up in Bergen County, as I did, in New Jersey.
Wow.
So, Christian's speed, comes from his grandfather.
From the grandfather.
Yes.
Ah. You know what?
His father was a great athlete. His grandfather was a great athlete. Great athlete.
Well, the dad was Ed McCaffrey.
Oh, there you go. Right.
Ed.
Right.
And you know what I did not know about him? But he was born in Waynesboro, Pennsylvania.
I did know that.
I did not know that. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. I'll have to look up the grandfather.
Yeah. And his son is having a great career, of course. He's the best running back in football now.
Yes, when football comes back, it's coming back.
And the speed comes from Grandpa.
I'm going to look that up. Yes, that's good history lesson right there.
Okay.
Thank you.
Take care.
You do the same. Thanks for calling the Fanatic. All right, we'll wrap things up with Matt. Matt in Bethlehem. Matt, how are you? And thank you for calling the Fanatic.
I am doing well. How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. Thank you.
Right on. Yeah, I was just running some errands, get some groceries, and I wanted to chime in on the family connection. Not sure if it's been said yet.
No problem.
Not, but I'm a big hockey fan. So the Tkachuk family, that Keith Tkachuk, the dad, and then his 2 kids are currently in the NHL, and Brady.
Yes,
and they play just like his dad.
Well, that's interesting. One, that they have not been said, and two, that's been another part of the conversation, how some people, the next generation, plays a lot almost in the same style as the parent. And some of them, I brought up Michael Thompson and Klay Thompson, they're totally different the way they played the game. And part of that has to do with having totally different builds. You know, the same
way. Yeah, that's true.
Dale Curry and Steph Curry would be a little more similar because they were both great shooters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree. I think Matthew Tkachuk, the one playing for the Flames, he plays exactly like his father. I think Brady's not so much like his old man, but it's interesting that you have 2 kids and one plays exactly like his dad and the other not so much. Yeah, I just wanted to chime in.
I love it.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you so much. That's a great one to go out on. Matt, be safe. Thanks for calling the Fanatic. The Tkachuks. That's a good one. Well, this was a very fun conversation, and I really do have to go back to the beginning when we had Bella Allery and Mark Allery on, and Bella was not even 24 hours of being selected fifth overall last night in the WNBA draft. She had a stellar Princeton career. And back in the day, her dad had a stellar Duke career, and he was selected number 18th in the 86 draft. So that's what kicked it all off. But I really do appreciate the good conversations and the contributions of, like, when you think of families and even the other conversations of what makes for those people having those careers and how it's passed on in some way, shape, or form. Tyler Zuli, I appreciate all your help behind the glass. Thank you for the facilitating. And I will be back tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. And we'll find another topic to tackle. So be safe out there. And coming up next, you are in very good hands with Joe Stazak. And thank you for listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.